Welcome to Grounded Wellness, your go-to podcast for simplified and trusted information on how to live a more non-toxic and holistic life. We're your hosts. I'm Bethany McDaniel, founder of Primally Pure, biohacking enthusiast and mom of three.
And I'm Courtney O'Connor, a holistic esthetician with over 15 years experience in the healing power of touch and holistic skincare rituals.
In today's episode of Grounded Wellness, I had the pleasure of sitting down with our in-house formulator, Tommy Hutchins, to talk about a holistic approach to sun protection and to celebrate the launch of our new SPF. Despite a significant rise in sunscreen use, skin cancer cases have surged by 42%. In the past decade. With these alarming statistics, it's clear that sunscreen isn't the only solution. Together, Tommy and I dive into the connection between sun exposure and why we don't believe in wearing SPF every day, and how to make lifestyle changes to better protect your skin without relying solely on conventional SPF. Let's dig in. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Grounded Wellness.
So excited to be back.
So glad you're here to talk all things SPF. So first question, do you wear SPF every day?
I don't. I'll use it if I'm going out in the summer. I don't live where it's warm all the time. So in the summer, I'll put it on if we're going swimming or something, but not every day. No.
I'm on that same boat with you. I don't wear it every day either for similar reasons. Even as a holistic esthetician, I feel like that is like hypocrisy to even say I don't wear it every day and I don't recommend my facial guests to wear it every day. Yeah. But obviously, yes, when you're out in the sun for an extended amount of time, I'll use like a tinted moisturizer with SPF in it.
Yes, me too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as we get into this conversation about SPF and even some of the benefits of sun exposure, would you start us off by kind of breaking down the UVA rays and the UVB rays, what they are and what to look for in a sunscreen to help protect against both?
Yeah, it's great, I think, for everybody to understand that. So the sun emits all the light, the visible light that we see, infrared light, and on the other end of the spectrum is UV light, ultraviolet. And there's actually three kind of UV rays that come from the sun. There's UVA, UVB, and UVC. And UVC is actually stopped by our atmosphere, so it doesn't get through to us. UVB, most of it gets through to us, but some of it is stopped by the atmosphere. But UVA gets all the way through to us. UVB, stops at the surface of our skin. So it hits our skin and it doesn't have the ability to penetrate deeper. UVB is what causes sunburn. And so obviously that's easy to see when you're experiencing too much UVB rays, and also can then therefore impact skin cancer, right? It can cause DNA damage and can lead to that. UVA rays actually penetrate down to the middle layer of the skin, and that's what will cause some DNA damage, which can lead to skin cancer, which is kind of newer findings in this community about the damage that UVA rays can have. But they also can lead to premature aging, wrinkles, things like that, because it's doing damage deeper layers of the skin. So when you go to look for a sunscreen product, really what you want to look for is something that's broad spectrum, and it should say it right on the label. And to be able to be claimed broad spectrum, a product has to have gone through testing that shows that it's effective at blocking all of the UV rays from UVA to UVB in the full spectrum that they cover. And so that way you're able to know that even if it's blocking from a sunburn, you know, it's also protecting from deeper damage from the UVA rays. So
with a broad spectrum sunscreen, there can be various forms of that, chemical and physical. Yeah. Could you walk us through how a chemical sunscreen works and why some of the ingredients in them might be concerning?
Yeah. So chemical sunscreens work by essentially, it's you place it on the surface of your skin and it will stay there as a film, but also is absorbed into the skin. It usually takes around 20 minutes or so to get into the deep layers of the skin. And what happens is when the UVA or UVB light comes and hits the chemical, a chemical reaction happens and the UV light is transformed into heat. and it dissipates, just leaves the skin. But what that does is it stops it from causing any damage or impact on the skin. And so that's how chemical sunscreens work. There's a list of chemical sunscreens that are approved in the United States by the FDA to use as sunscreen ingredients. And some of those aren't allowed in other countries because of safety concerns. And even our FDA in the last few years has started to recognize this fact that some of these sunscreens are going to be concerning to use. And so one, for example, is oxybenzone. Oxybenzone actually is recommended by the American Academy of Pediatrics to not use on children because it is an endocrine disruptor, and they know this. Now, this also is true for adults as well. It's going to impact us as well. It's just that children are smaller, and so their bodies are more impacted by it. So there's a long list of ones that are available that are chemical sunscreens, and they will work in different ways. Some will protect against UVA better, and some will protect against UVB a little bit better.
Are there any long-term effects of using sunscreens with chemical ingredients because they do get absorbed into the bloodstream?
Yeah. So there's research showing, one, that these ingredients can, that they do get absorbed into the skin and in systemically. You can see traces of them in urine. You can see them in the blood plasma. They can build up in places like fatty tissue, the liver, the brain. It can cross the blood-brain barrier. I've seen some research that it actually, the sunscreen ingredients can come into breast milk. So if you think about the impacts of that, interestingly, also, it's not just an immediate buildup of the sunscreen ingredients in your body. You can use a sunscreen and still have traces of it in your system a week, 2 weeks later. So there definitely are some long-term effects. We worry about things like endocrine disrupting. Thyroid cancer in rats, there was a study they did and found an increased risk of thyroid cancer, so they can be carcinogenic. Mm-hmm. And also have found that the levels of these ingredients that are left in our body after using a sunscreen are well above the FDA-considered safe threshold level. So even though we're applying these things topically, once we test samples later, we're finding that way more is getting through our skin than even the FDA recommends as being safe. So the FDA is actively looking into this right now, and there may be some changes regulatory-wise in the future where some of these might not be allowed anymore.
That's encouraging to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the case.
Yeah.
So then on the flip side, speaking about physical sunscreens,
yeah.
Talk to us about how those work and what are some of those key ingredients in a physical sunscreen.
Yeah, so these are different. They're much more like a block. So sometimes they'll be called a sunblock. And so the two big ones that are approved by the FDA are titanium dioxide and zinc oxide. And so those work literally as a barrier. So they'll go on the surface of the skin, and if they are non-nano, then they won't absorb into the skin. And what happens is the UV light, both UVA and UVB, will hit the physical block of this sunscreen, and it just gets reflected away and it can't get through. So it's like a shield, a physical shield on the surface of the skin.
Yeah. And what's interesting, I feel like as we look back, especially as at Primally Pure, we often refer back to our ancestral roots and ancestral wisdom. And SPF was not a part of their day-to-day, and they spent so much time in the sun. And so we like to consider how SPF really wasn't intended to be our only defense from the sun. There are various holistic ways to help protect our skin from extended sun exposure or sun damage. Yet for so long, our society has solely relied on sunscreen.
So what are some alternatives that you recommend to your clients for sun protection?
Yes. I remember back in esthetician school over 15 years ago, that was like the only way that we finished our facials. That was the number one product we sold for retail, making sure everybody that left the building had SPF on. And so over the years, as I learned more about SPF and learned more about skin health and taking more holistic approaches to just overall wellness, I have removed SPF from my treatment room. And I think part of it is that our facials that we focus on aren't incorporating any really aggressive exfoliation treatments or chemical peels that leave the skin in a susceptible state to sun damage, where then definitely you would want to make sure you were applying a safe sunscreen to protect your skin in such a delicate state. But with the emphasis on microbiome support and barrier repair and facial massage, I don't feel like the need to finish off a facial with SPF. Something that I emphasize with my facial guests as natural sun protection truly is repairing their skin barrier and rebalancing their skin microbiome. So similarly with the aggressive exfoliation treatments or chemical peels, when our skin is in a compromised state, it's more susceptible to damage, to sun exposure, oxidative stress, all of that. So really focusing on those healing components of skincare, like cleansing oils, not using stripping detergents and sulfates on the skin, really focusing on that water and oil content for a balanced moisture barrier, and just really creating more resilient skin and optimizing skin function is first and foremost. And then, of course, SPF topically doesn't have to be our only resort. We can wear a cute wide-brimmed hat or long sleeves and more layers. And obviously, if you are going to be spending a day at the beach or you're going on vacation to Hawaii, you want to wear a sunscreen and you want to protect your skin, but we want to look for those clean, like you mentioned, the non-nano zinc oxide, which more on that later. And then there's some cool ways to actually eat your sunscreen, like really focusing on antioxidant-rich foods. So astaxanthin, as you know, is an ingredient we love in our skincare, but it's also a supplement you can take. A lot of surfers will take astaxanthin. It's one of nature's most potent antioxidants, so it just helps support your internal resilience to sun damage. And then for sure, focusing on more like flavonoids and antioxidants in berries and pomegranates, polyphenols in green tea, curcumin and turmeric, just adding these little things throughout your day and adding them into your diet can be really beneficial over time. And then avoiding seed oils in your diet. They're very inflammatory in the body, and that inflammatory reaction can make your skin as well more susceptible to burning and to sun damage. And then one of my favorite ways to help support your skin holistically and to receive the medicinal benefits of the sun is to actually watch sunrises and sunsets. So you're getting that sunlight on your eyes, on your skin when the rays are less intense, and you're also building up your resilience to receiving the sun and its benefits. So watching the sunset, the sunrise, and also just building that up gradually. So maybe being out in the sun for 10 to 15 minutes the first day, and then over time you can build your resiliency and exposure to the sun in that way. So we believe in the healing power of the sun, and I think it's so important as well to receive the sun exposure, because as Americans especially, we spend probably about 90% of our time indoors. So I feel like our few moments of sun exposure, maybe it's from the office to the car, your home to the car, like just getting that sun is super beneficial, and we don't want to completely block or hinder the sun's holistic benefits.
So what are some of the benefits of sun exposure that our bodies actually need, even with concerns about skin damage?
Yes, I feel like on the most basic level, our bodies were designed to live under the sun. And as I mentioned a little bit before, as we look back on our ancestors and how they lived and wisdom that we get to glean from still today, they spent so much time in the sun daily, and we know now there's science to back it up that it helps to support our circadian rhythm. It actually helps to regulate our hormones, and we want to spend time in the sun, but we just don't want to overdo it. And so healthy levels of sun exposure support healthy vitamin D levels, and a study showed that actually vitamin D from the sun specifically made a bigger impact on bone health and overall homeostasis more than a supplemented vitamin D. So I think that's a really cool comparison between supplements, which are meant to just, again, be a supplementation where we can receive so much goodness and that vitamin D from the sun itself. And then, of course, our circadian rhythm regulation. That's why watching the sunset and the sunrise can be super beneficial for supporting that. And it's also been shown to actually reduce cancer cell growth and to boost immune responses within the body against infection and inflammation. And then there's a cool There's a series of studies that looked at different populations that are in sunnier locations, so a high vitamin D culture, and they have less serious illness, including less cancer and disease, improved immune function, fewer cases of diabetes, and even better bone and gut health. And I think we can all attest to we feel better when we have been in the sun. Yeah. Like it shifts our mood. It feels we feel lighter and just a little bit happier. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that in and of itself, like experiential, we know we feel better when we have sunlight. So Tommy, you are also a fertility expert, and I would love to hear from your perspective if you believe there are any benefits from the sun in regulating hormones, especially with that circadian rhythm and all the various benefits of sun.
Yeah, I mean, I think like you said, this the way that our bodies are designed, I think the sun is just plays such an important role. So there is a benefit that the sun can have on our hormone levels. It actually can help decrease estrogen and also plays a role in cortisol. So I know if you get early morning sun, that helps boost your cortisol level, which is that stress hormone, but it can be a good stress. It kind of gets you going in the morning. And cortisol directly impacts the estrogen in our body. And so it can definitely play a role. And I think it's a good idea to recognize that anytime we can bring the sunlight and just that natural rhythm that it provides into our life, it allows there to be balance. And our hormones are all about balance for them to work correctly in our bodies. So, yeah.
So one of the notes that I mentioned earlier on holistic sun protection was avoiding seed oils. I would mm-hmm. also love to hear from your perspective on seed oils and looking more in depth at that. How do consuming seed oils impact skin health?
Yeah. So consuming them, like we discussed, increases inflammation in the body, right? And so when that happens, you're going to be more prone to all sorts of things systemically, right? There's insulin resistance, thyroid dysfunction, and hormone imbalance as well. Inflammation can impact, in terms of female hormones, the estrogen and progesterone balance, which is really this delicate balance for health. Mm-hmm. And so inflammation plays a role in that. So even so much though that when I'm working with clients that are struggling with PCOS, that can sometimes be greatly helped by trying to adopt an anti-inflammatory lifestyle. And so reducing the consumption of seed oils is going to be a part of that, those industrial seed oils that we talk about, right? Soy, canola, vegetable oil, things like that. Mm-hmm.
And with seed oils topically, mm-hmm. seed oils can often be a base in sunscreen products. Mm-hmm. So can you speak more to that too, and how would applying seed oils topically and especially in an SPF product affect skin?
Yeah. As a cosmetic chemist, I think about it a little bit differently because there are amazing seed oils out there, raspberry seed oil, blueberry seed oil, hemp seed oil, because the oil in these plants are found in the seeds. And those are fine and wonderful ingredients that I love to use and we should use on our skin. Mm. They provide excellent sources of omega-3, 6, 9, linoleic, linolenic acids, all these things that are really beneficial to our skin health, barrier repair, and moisturization, all sorts of things. When we talk about the seed oils that we're talking about that are inflammatory, those are more those industrialized oils, GMO, corn oil, soy oil. And the difference between them is often how they're processed, mm-hmm. how they're sourced, removed from the plant material, and then how they're treated. And so what happens is they will often become oxidized prematurely, which basically means they're aging, and that creates free radicals. And that, if you apply topically to your skin, you are just promoting premature aging because those free radicals will end up damaging the surface of your skin and age it. So when I'm formulating a product, and especially when you're looking at a sunscreen, you want to use really good ingredients that aren't going to have these free radical producing inflammatory seed oils in them, and instead choose alternative ingredients that are really, really, really healthy for your skin.
As a holistic esthetician, which I know often we hear that sun is the number one cause of aging. And that's why I think one of the reasons probably SPF sales have skyrocketed, because we are wanting to protect our skin from aging. However, from my perspective, I don't agree with that concept that that sun exposure is the number one cause of aging. I actually believe that stress is the number one cause of aging, because if we look at the effects of stress on not only our overall health, which obviously directly impacts our skin health, but when we look at how stress can break down our skin health, it's fascinating. And I feel like we look at how stress, it actually disrupts skin barrier function and it impacts lipid ratios, which leads to dehydration and that transepidermal water loss. Yeah. And I've heard this quote that I just have lived by now, and it's aging is simply drying out. So when all of that is impacted, it just leads to more dehydrated, dry, aging skin. And I feel like this chronic low-grade stress that we're just all essentially living with when we're not regulating it or managing it well can lead to more inflammation levels in the body and lead to more inflammatory skin conditions like eczema and acne and psoriasis. And also stress impairs wound healing. So our skin isn't as effective in healing and supporting those repair functions. And also stress has been shown to impact fibroblasts and collagen production in the skin. So it's leading to a loss of firmness and elasticity. Stress also, we feel it in our bodies when we're stressed. We're more tense and rigid and constricted, which that actually impairs the flow of vital nutrients in the blood and in the lymphatic fluid. And so when I look at all the impacts of stress on our body and in our skin, that's why I believe stress is the number one cause of aging. And it actually makes your skin more susceptible to sun damage. So I feel like if we even look deeper than the sun, that's where stress is involved. And so I think too, one of my favorite holistic ways to protect the skin from sun damage is to manage our stress and to really implement more stress relieving rituals, regulating our nervous system, and starting to view stress relief as sun protection.
I love that.
So because we're indoor filming today and we're talking about the sun, we had to open up the doors behind us and let the sun in on our faces.
So good. So,
see, I already feel mood shift.
Yep, me too.
Immediately. So Tommy, on this topic of stress, let's talk oxidative stress. Okay. So can you unpack that a little bit for us and talk to us about how oxidative stress also impacts skin health?
Yeah, sure. So oxidative stress is a term that something that can happen with free radicals. And free radicals damage can impact the skin. It can cause inflammation. It can just reduce barrier function. Just overall can cause premature aging on your skin. So free radicals are a molecule that is looking for an electron. Okay, so it's out there. It's not happy. It's looking for an electron. And when it is on the surface of your skin, if you say you apply something to your skin that has free radicals in it, that's oxidized, then it's going to be looking for that electron. And so what it will actually do is steal an electron from healthy molecules in your skin. So that's what leads to that skin damage and that's impact on our skin. And so in order to combat that, we have to try to address that with either changes in our behavior or our environment, because these free radicals can come from pollution, it can come from chemicals, it can come from the sun. So we can do things like that or use skincare products that can help protect us a little bit from those free radicals.
What are some of your favorite skincare ingredients that help to combat oxidative stress?
So I love astaxanthin. We've already talked about that. It's more powerful as an antioxidant than vitamin C, coenzyme Q10, which those are both actually great ingredients as well to be able to combat oxidative stress. How those work is they essentially will donate that electron. So instead of the free radical kind of stealing that from your skin, they're going to take it from the astaxanthin or the vitamin C or the coenzyme Q10 that are happy to give up that electron. And so it just kind of does this barrier thing to protect your skin from it.
I love that.
Yeah. So what are some lifestyle habits? You've talked about different things, which I found really interesting, but what are some that we can do to try to minimize free radicals and oxidative stress?
Yes. So again, astaxanthin. I feel like that is like the superhero of this combo right now.
I know. I want to get it.
Incorporating more of those antioxidant-rich foods or supplementation and really focusing on nourishment and upgrading our diet. And I think also really reducing that emotional stress that I also talked about. And so incorporating more lifestyle factors, because psychological stress is oxidative stress. It has the same effect on our body with just degrading the health of the skin, breaking down our cellular health over time. And so whatever ways we, because it's different for everybody, what helps to relieve stress. So learning what helps you just exhale and implementing more of those practices in your day-to-day life. And then protecting skin from pollution and other environmental stressors, and then definitely reducing pesticides and chemicals. So looking at what we're putting on our plate and in our products and looking for organic options whenever possible. And one thing that we talk about often is promoting better sleep hygiene. Obviously, when we sleep, that's when our bodies are able to repair and regenerate and create more resiliency against stress and against all the oxidative stress that could be happening. And one of my favorite tips for better sleep is actually our new sleep spray. Plugging that product, just misting it on your forearms or your feet just helps you unwind more effectively and sleep more restfully. We love educating our community on the realities of sunscreen and the holistic benefits of the sun. And also, we're so excited for this episode because we are introducing our brand new SPF product that has been the most requested product, I feel like, for years. And it's taken 3 years in the making. Yes. So, Tommy, I'm so excited to talk to you about our new Primely Pure SPF product. So, with it taking over 3 years to formulate, what challenges did you face when creating the perfect non-toxic SPF?
Yeah, so excited about this too. So let's see. I think first, finding the right partner. So with this being a drug product, there come regulations, there's manufacturing requirements, and we, of course, don't have any other OTC drug products in our lineup. So we needed to find someone to partner with to be able to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to make this the right and best product. And so finding that partner was the first step. Second, the challenge came from making this true to who we are. So we wanted to include tallow. We need to have good, really good skincare ingredients. And this is just something that isn't really out there on the market right now. So there's other companies who might be trying to use tallow in a way in sunscreen, but the ones that I found aren't necessarily doing it the way that I think is going to be the best. So getting tallow to work, it's just a new way of making a sunscreen. And then third was actually the active ingredient that we're going to use. So we chose to use zinc oxide, which is a great skincare ingredient for SPF. And it's one of the ones that's allowed by the FDA. It's, again, and that sun block ingredient. So it's going to stop the sun, those UV rays from being able to impact the skin. And, but one of the challenges that we ran into with that is some of our earlier prototypes, some of the earlier formulations that we tried, when we actually went and tested it for the SPF amount, it failed, even though it had the correct level of zinc in there, and actually puzzled us a little bit about why this was happening. And so we found that with this base that we're working with, this kind of new idea of a tallow-based sunscreen, the processing of how we actually put the ingredients together and the way that they're mixed in a certain way, top secret, makes a difference. And we had to adjust our processes to be able to get the formula to work. And now it works beautifully. It passed wonderfully. So that was a challenge that we came against, but figured it out and we're super excited.
Yes. Yeah. I would love to hear a little bit more about this zinc oxide.
Yeah.
And why you chose that one specifically for our formula and how ours is different.
Yes. I'm so excited about our zinc. So again, yes, we wanted to use zinc oxide. We are definitely going to use a non-nano zinc. So the difference there is you can have zinc that has been ground down to nano-sized, which just means it's the little particles are less than 100 nanometers. It's very, very small. And those can actually be absorbed through the skin. And there is some evidence of it being able to be absorbed and kind of move systemically through your body. So we, of course, are choosing a non-nano zinc. But as everyone knows, usually a zinc sunscreen is going to give you that white cast. We were very excited to find a new zinc that's pretty new to the market, but made by a zinc expert who's been in this field for a very long time, who created a new zinc that it's non-nano. It's uncoated. So sometimes zinc oxide will be coated with other chemicals to make it not be whitening and to work differently in the formula. This is an uncoated zinc that is non-nano, so already two bonus points for it. But the way that he figured out how to mill it down, basically to grind the zinc in a very special way, changes it from being crystalline, so jagged, which when the light hits the zinc, when it's jagged, that's why the light reflects back and it looks white. So that's why zinc looks white on your, to your eyes. The way that he's figured out how to process the zinc, it makes it more smooth. And so the light is doesn't reflect back in your eyes, and it's almost, you can barely see it. So we have this amazing zinc product that almost looks, you'll have a hard time even believing that it's actually zinc, but it is, and it works wonderfully. We're very excited about it.
When I apply it, it just like melts into my skin.
It's such incredible. A great product, and it's broad spectrum. So it passed the broad spectrum test. We're going to offer a few different SPF options and different forms for use on your body. So really exciting.
Love that. I find often a question we get from our customers is this product pregnancy safe, breastfeeding safe? Can you speak to that with our new SPF line?
Yeah. So these are very basic formulas, which I think is also very different than other things that are on the market. These formulas, there's probably 6 or 7 total ingredients. These are all very gentle. With it being non-nano zinc, nothing is getting absorbed into the skin, which then wouldn't be able to be, you know, they'll be safe for pregnancy and also for breastfeeding. So very, very simple formulas that really work.
Love that. For the whole family.
Whole family.
So good.
Yeah.
Love it. On that conversation too of the non-nano zinc oxide, you mentioned earlier that titanium dioxide is also another common mineral ingredient for sunscreen, which there are concerns about having titanium dioxide in sunscreens. What is your take on these claims regarding free radical generation with titanium dioxide?
So this is a really interesting one, actually. So titanium dioxide is the other block that's available to be used by the FDA, and it does work as a sunscreen. The interesting thing about it, though, is when I look at it from a perspective of a chemist, there's actually 2 different forms of titanium dioxide, and it just has to do with the shape of the crystals. And one of the forms, when used, actually, when UV light hits that form, that type of titanium dioxide, it actually causes UV damage on the skin. Whoa. But the other form of titanium dioxide doesn't do that. And so if you don't know what source the company is that's using, you know, if you buy a sunscreen, it's got titanium dioxide, and you don't know which of these that it was, then you really don't know if you're using something that's safe. So we could have formulated with that, but I think just because of the great benefit that we have with this zinc ingredient, why mess with it? Let's just use this material. And yeah.
Good find on the non-nano.
So excited.
Using.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So you've mentioned a little bit about some of the regulations surrounding SPF formulation. What are some other regulations that exist around creating an SPF, and how do they affect sunscreen production?
With this being an OTC drug, so that encompasses everything from drug products like a fluoride toothpaste to Tylenol on the shelf. These are all OTC drugs, and sunscreen is one of those. So the FDA has what's called a monograph, which is the set of rules and requirements and restrictions that are attached to that drug. And every drug has one of these things. And so we have to look at that, and it will give you very specific outlines of what ingredients you can put in, how much can you combine raw ingredients when it comes to the actives. And then it also talks about the testing that's required. So it's very specific testing. And the interesting thing about the FDA regulations for the SPF portion of the testing is that it only is actually testing for sunburn, which now we know is only UVB rays. And so when these regulations were first created, there wasn't as much of an understanding about the danger of UVA. And so that's why it's still legal for some companies to sell sunscreens that aren't broad spectrum, because the FDA doesn't require UVA testing. So to be able to do it legally, you don't have to do the broad spectrum. But to be able to get that claim, you have to do an additional test, which will test for both UVA and UVB. And then just general other requirements that are in place for any drug product or cosmetic product like this is stability testing, just The facility has to be FDA registered. There's a lot that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And on the back of our label has the drug facts label, which is a first for us here at Primely Pure, but it'll have, you know, so it'll look a little bit different, but we have to have it. That's a legal requirement. Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it, but it's totally worth it.
So worth it. This launch was no small feat, and so grateful for your expertise and input in bringing this final product to life. Yay. And so even going back to like our first question, do we wear SPF every day? No, but when we do, it's going to be this one.
Absolutely. Yes.
When this episode is released, it'll be summer. It will be in full swing. Do you have any fun summer travel plans? Where will you be taking our SPF this summer?
Okay, so I have a funny answer. So we usually travel back. We're from Maine originally, and we usually travel back to see our family in the summer, but not this summer because we are starting a little farm. And so we will be lathering up with our Primely Pure sunscreen as we try to get a farm going. So
I love that so much. It's going to be a very memorable summer for you.
I know. Excited. Yeah. What about you?
Similarly, I'm from Michigan originally, and we have always gone back for the 4th of July. We love the Midwest summers. Yeah. But my, when this is released, my husband is from Texas. So we'll be spending the 4th with his family in Texas. So very hot, very humid. So I'll definitely be bringing my SPF, lipstick, cream, all the things.
Bring some to share.
Yes. Yes. Totally. Well, Tommy, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. It's always such a joy to chat with you, and cannot wait for our community to have this SPF.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for having me. Yes. Love it.